The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Friends, I'm talking to Alan Dershowitz, Professor Alan Dershowitz. We're talking about so many things. The Case Against the New Censorship is your new book. I've got to ask you kind of a tough question in a way. When you talk about where we are as a nation, the madness into which we've descended, I have to wonder if so many people on the left are canceling you or people like you, would it occur to you that somebody like Donald Trump, for all of his faults, I'm sure you can enumerate them, but that he was a bulwark against a lot of that? He had the spine, I think, to just say, I'm not going to go along with that. Many Republicans are going along with this kind of stuff. They lack the will or the courage to stand up against it. What do you think about that?
Well, I think people are different. My former student, Ted Cruz, obviously stands up against this. The question is, how many people are prepared to say, not only free speech for thee and me, but free speech for people that we most fundamentally disagree with? And I think the Chauvin case has pointed that out more than anything. A lot of my friends in private have told me they don't think Chauvin got a fair trial. The thumb of the crowd was outside. The jurors knew that if they had rendered a verdict of not guilty or a verdict of guilty of manslaughter, there would be riots. My friends have all told me they thought that was an unfair trial. Not a single one of them is prepared to speak out. I've been prepared to speak out about this. I think he should be getting a new trial. I think there should be a trial in which every juror is sequestered and the trial should take place out of Minnesota. I have no brief for Chauvin himself. I think what he did was terrible. There's a special place in hell for him for keeping his knee on the neck of this guy even after he became unconscious. But I don't care when denial of due process is at stake, how guilty the person may be. I care that the person get a fair trial. And, you know, as was said by the man you wrote an autobiography for, first they came, you know, for the Jews and I didn't speak out, and then they came for me and there's nobody to speak out. The denial of due process and free speech always starts with the worst people. H.L. Mencken said they first come after the SOBs and they establish the bad law on the basis of the SOBs, and then they come after the rest of us, you and me. And it's really essentially the same thing as what the Reverend said. And that's why I think it's so important to stand up for people I disagree with. That's why I defended the rights of Nazis to march through Skokie, Illinois. Nazis.
I was going to bring that up. I had no idea that you were involved. I should have.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the most famous cases. Please tell my audience who doesn't know perhaps about what that entailed.
Okay, so neo-Nazi groups picked Skokie, Illinois, because that's the home to many Holocaust survivors. And they did it deliberately to cause anguish among the Holocaust survivors.
And this is in the 80s, right?
In the 70s, maybe the 70s. I don't remember now. It's a long time ago. But they marched with their swastikas and their Heil Hitlers. And the city of Skokie tried to ban them. And I was on the national board of the ACLU. And we came out on behalf of the Nazi. My mother called me and said, whose side are you on, the Jews and the Nazis? I said, Mom, on the side of the First Amendment. She said, I'm your mother. You can't talk like that to me. Are you on the side of the Jews or the Nazis? Pick a side. I said, Ma, I'm not on the side of the Nazis. If they get run over with a bus, I'd be very happy. But not the government. The government shouldn't censor them, because if they censor them today, they could censor Martin Luther King tomorrow, because he purposely went to towns that were segregated in order to provoke segregationists. I don't want to make a comparison. Martin Luther King was a great man. The Nazis are horrible people. But the First Amendment doesn't distinguish between Martin Luther King and the Nazi Party. And I don't distinguish between them when it comes to the First Amendment.
Well, look, I mean, if you say you're for the First Amendment, then you are for the Jews. Let's face it.
For the Greeks and the Italians and for the...
And against the Nazis. But I mean, it's clear that... Well, the reason I bring this up is because I've been mortified recently for various reasons. I have been led to believe, for example, that the election was not right. And I thought to myself, as an American, I should be able to talk about that. I should be able to ask people to look into it. I should be able to say, if an election was stolen, we've lost America. It doesn't matter who won. The idea that China and Russia could choose to... There was an HBO documentary called Kill Chain, and they talk about the ideas that China or Russia... It's not about getting somebody elected. It's about destabilizing our democracy.
You should have a right to talk about that as long as I have a right to take the opposite view.
Well, obviously.
I have the right to say, look, I don't think the election was perfect, but I do think the majority of people voted for Biden. And I think that he got the most electoral votes. And I think his election was legitimate. Look, I'm defending MyPillow and Mike Lindell, though I disagree with much of what he says. But I defend his right to say it. And not to be sued. I didn't like what the president, what President Trump said on January 6th. I wish he hadn't made that speech, but I defend his right to say it. He talked about peaceful and patriotic protests. Let your voices be heard. He was not responsible for what went on later on in the Capitol, certainly not from a First Amendment point of view. So, you know, all my life, I've defended the rights of people who I disagree with. I defended the rights of Palestinian students to put up the flag of the Palestinian government when Yasser Arafat died. But at the same time, I distributed a leaflet saying that I wish Arafat had died 4 years earlier, because then there'd be a two-state solution in the Middle East. And the First Amendment was alive and well at Harvard. The flag went up. My leaflets went out. Both sides were presented and students could see both and make a decision. That's America.
It is just so encouraging to hear your voice out there. I'm just so grateful for you, Professor Dershowitz, because we really do need principled people on both sides. And we've been sorely lacking for that. I never thought I'd wish that I went to law school, but suddenly listening to you, I think...
Hey, I wish you'd gone to law school. I would have loved to have you as a student.
It is a joy, really, to talk to somebody who believes in basic principles, because as I said, I would be happy to be wrong, let's say, about the election. But the idea that I can't bring it up, I think
I agree with
this. Is the United States of America. How can anyone tell me I can't bring that up? The same thing has happened really with the vaccines and things.
Well, let me give you an example on that. So Bobby Kennedy, the son of the former attorney general, he's an environmental lawyer, but critical of vaccines or skeptical of vaccines. He and I had a great debate, an hour-long debate. It was a terrific debate, very substantive, very intellectual about the Constitution, about medical issues. Thousands of people watched it, and then YouTube took it down. They said they didn't think that was a debatable issue.
Okay. Well, Is that not unbelievable? Is that not staggering? The power that YouTube has, I just want to say... That to me, how would you advise somebody like a Ted Cruz? What can we do? Because this is destroying the nation.
Well, first of all, you can take away their exemption under Section 230 of the Decency and Communication Act, because
has anyone proposed that officially? Can that be in with Congress in the hands of Nancy Pelosi?
Second of all, we can watch Rumble. They have the debate. They don't take it down. There are alternatives, and we should have more alternatives. The way to fight bad business is to come up with better business. Third, we should think about antitrust violations, as long as they're not content specific, as long as they don't go after people based on their content, but go after them based only their market share and on predatory practices. That's consistent with the First Amendment.
But that's has anybody proposed this kind of legislation? Because I'm just astounded that we are where we are. I'm frightened for my nation.
I think Ted Cruz has proposed such legislation, and I support it, and others should as well. And we have to be neutral on the First Amendment. We can't say, will it benefit Republicans? Will it benefit Democrats? Will it benefit the left or the right? It has to be something that benefits all Americans.
Well, but the very idea that YouTube took down a debate between you and Robert Kennedy. I assume he's somebody that I may have on this program because I'm looking for people.
Just very bright. We disagree, but he's very bright.
Well, as I say, I when somebody gets censored, Naomi Wolf is another one. I feel almost an obligation to have them on, even if I disagree with them. Listen, it's wonderful getting you on. Congratulations on the book, The Case Against the New Censorship. Professor Alan Dershowitz, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
We go from what I like to call the frying pan into the fire. I just spent the last hour speaking with Professor Alan Dershowitz. And then we come to John Zmierich, who, if he had been in Alan Dershowitz's class in Harvard Law School, would have been Alan Dershowitz's worst nightmare. Welcome to the program, my friend.
Thanks. Though I think Professor Dershowitz would probably have been very fair. He might have even enjoyed having a worthy opponent.
Oh, no. You know what? In all seriousness, he's pretty terrific in so many ways. You, my friend, wrote an article with our mutual friend, Jay
Richards,
about the vaccine. You contend that you're certain that all of these vaccines were made somehow using aborted fetal tissue. Can you address this? Because so many people say that's not true. You're saying it is true.
Every reliable source I've seen has said so. The companies admit it. They have different levels of involvement with abortion. The Johnson & Johnson is the worst because it used fetal tissue to develop the vaccine and to test it at every step of the way. They did avoid testing on animals, which is nice, right? But they tested on murdered unborn children. The Pfizer vaccine and some of the others used cell lines that had been derived from aborted babies to test the vaccine. So some of them showed more flagrant disregard for unborn children than others. But the way I would like people to think about this is, imagine if the routine way of making vaccines in America were to take tissue from people like George Floyd, who had been shot by the police in questionable circumstances. And if police departments actually made money off that, and they worked closely with pharmaceutical companies to provide them with tissue from dead shot Black Americans via the police department, and everybody made money along the way. I think most people would be upset by that.
Don't know if you're exaggerating or whatever. I want to ask you, first of all, it sounds to me, as a Christian, you are saying it's not ethical to get the vaccine because of this.
I'm saying, actually, it is an ethical problem. It's something we need to struggle with. It's something we need to do. If we're going to do it, we need to do it reluctantly and under protest. I think the best comparison, since pharmaceutical companies are cannibalizing children for parts, and we know that. The vice president of the United States tried to imprison David Daleiden, a journalist, for proving that Planned Parenthood is still doing this today with pharmaceutical companies. The best comparison is eating human flesh, is cannibalism. In a desperate emergency, if your plane crashes on a desert island, and several of the passengers are dead and you're starving, you can, most Christians believe, have agreed, and the Catholic Church has taught, you can, in an extreme emergency, reluctantly eat someone who's already dead to save your own life. You can't do it flippantly. You can't open a restaurant, a cannibal restaurant. But if you need to in a life-threatening emergency. So it seems to me that people who are at very high risk of dying from COVID, if they think it's worth it to protect themselves from death, could reluctantly get the vaccine, while they should lodge a protest, the churches should be lodging protests. Most importantly, why aren't the churches, with all their money, with the money that Pope Francis spends to bring singers from Aerosmith to the Vatican, why aren't the churches, why aren't the billion Christians on the face of the earth demanding ethical vaccines? They're not. And if we were, saying, no, we're only going to do this in grave emergencies, you people have left us no alternative, what, you didn't even try. Here's the point. It is much harder to do vaccines without cannibalizing unborn babies for parts. It's difficult. Jay Richards and I looked into, what about children from miscarriages? Could we start an ethical cell line from that? And the problem is, with a miscarriage, the child dies and then is expelled from the womb. It's already dead. The cells are dead. It's much easier to take out a baby. It's still alive. You take the stem cells from it, and then you kill it. And that is how these vaccines are created.
Stem cells. We know that adult stem cells have worked in other things.
Right, right. And that should be explored. The problem is, imagine there was no animal rights movement. Everything would be tested on animals. They'd be testing on chimpanzees while they're still alive. A lot of cruel practices would be happening. But animal rights activists, much smaller number than there are Christians in the world, have successfully applied pressure. So all these vaccines were not tested on animals. They were just tested on murdered babies. There's a history of medical abuses against the vulnerable. As we said in the article, most of modern gynecology was pioneered by a Dr. Sims from South Carolina. And he did experiments on black slave women. Enslaved women with their master's permission, not their permission, their master's. And he did it without anesthetic, which existed at the time and was used on white women. So the speculum, the vaginal speculum, was invented by this guy, Professor Sims, who has a statue in Central Park that they want to tear down because he was conducting cruel experiments on black slaves. Medical textbooks in Germany and Austria to this day have their anatomical drawings based on murdered victims of the Holocaust. Imagine if Josef Mengele's research at Auschwitz and other concentration camps were the basis for creating vaccines. Furthermore, Uyghur slaves in China today, people imprisoned for their religious beliefs in concentration camps, are a major source of organ donation. Forbes magazine documented that the Chinese government makes millions every year stealing organs from live Muslims they've imprisoned because of their religion and then killing them. Everybody winks at that. Everybody looks past that while, you know, demanding that George Washington statue be torn down. The same people who are concerned about slavery that's long in the past, they buy Nike sneakers and they buy iPhones, even though those are made with parts created by Uyghur slaves. I think William Wilberforce's boycott of sugar to try to end the British slave trade should be the model for us today. I'm not getting the vaccine. Period. I probably won't be able to visit my family and you and my other friends in New York because of that. But I don't think I'm a grave enough risk for death to get this vaccine that's based on murdered babies. And if I die prematurely because of that, I don't think I will. But if it should happen, I would die more peacefully than living with abortion as part of why I'm alive.
I'm amazed, John, that no one has brought this up. This is something that it's just stunning to me, you know, because I trust you and I know you and Jay Richards have looked into this, but that no Christian leaders are bringing this up.
Well, some are. Archbishop Vigano is. Bishop Tyler, Bishop Strickland of Tyler, Texas, a number of Catholic ethicists, but there's heavy, heavy pressure. You know, when you wrote that wonderful book, Amazing Grace, about Wilberforce, remember all the pressure there was not to talk about the conditions that slaves endured on Caribbean plantations, because a huge percentage of the British budget came from that. And remember, when they ended slavery in the British Empire, they spent 1/4 of the gross domestic product buying the slaves from their owners and to set them free. It took a massive national sacrifice on the part of the British people, and God bless them for it. They did it, and then they fought the slave trade around the world. Americans, I don't think we're ready to step up and do that kind of thing.
it is an extraordinary thing. Oz Guinness, from whom I first learned about William Wilberforce, told me that the amount of sterling that was paid by the British government, it's astonishing that they had that national will to do that, to do the right thing. And look, let's be honest, that happened in 1833, 34. Because of that, it seems to me, God blessed the British Empire dramatically. I mean, we know that the Victorian era, which began 6 years later, was their greatest moment in history. They did the right thing. They led the world with a level of morality and virtue. They were heroes.
Do we want to emulate communist China? Right now, we're emulating communist China. The vice president of the United States got a ton of campaign money from Planned Parenthood. She perverted the U.S. legal system to protect Planned Parenthood and its illegal sale of baby parts for profit. What's that going to mean for our future?
Well, again, people have to stand up and speak. But there are many people in the Christian world, many people I would have thought were my allies and your allies, who have been silent. They're afraid. They don't want to get tagged with, well, I'm a conspiracy theorist or something like that. So they don't talk about vaccines. Folks, I'm talking to John Zamirak. We'll be right back.
They're going to make a big star out of me. We'll make the film about a man that's sad and lonely. And all I got to do is act naturally. Well, I'll bet.
Hey, folks, talking to John Zamirak. John, I want to tell my audience again, they have a homework assignment. Folks, you have this homework assignment every day. You go to stream.org. You find John's article of the day, five articles a week, Monday to Friday. You print it out and you read it and share it with people. It's very important. John, you wrote an article about, we were just talking about the issue of the vaccines.
Right. And
it's the headline. It's gotten shared 100 times on Twitter. It's been retweeted when I just put it up there.
The title. The title is, "We Don't Know If Abortion-Free Vaccines Are Possible Because We Haven't Really Tried." And we have a link from that article at the stream to primers about the vaccines, the various existing vaccines, and how much entailment they have in the evil of abortion. If you want to just go straight to that primer, I'll give you the title of that. That's at lifesitenews.com, and it's called "What You Need to Know About Fetal Cells and Vaccines." Fetal cell lines. What you need to know about fetal cell lines and vaccines. A short primer. Look, I wish there were one of these vaccines on the market that was ethical. I would like to take it. I would like to be able to fly to New York. I would like to be able, you know, I would not get a vaccine passport, of course. I'm not letting the Chinese social credit system take over my life. But I would like, you know, to lower the odds that I, as a 57-year-old who's overweight, might die of this damn thing. I mean, there are a lot of plates of fettuccine that I want to eat. I want to spend more time with my dogs. There are a few things left to look forward to in this world. There are Bach concerts that will be performed in the next 15 years. I'd like to be here for them, but not at the price of basically taking research from Josef Mengele, taking parts of enslaved Uyghurs, or taking parts of aborted babies in America.
It's amazing. You wrote another article at the stream about the cargo cult. I learned this from you. I learned many things from you. I never heard of the cargo cults.
Aren't they great?
But I often find that, you know, you're just a little too clever. And most people are thinking, I don't know what a cargo cult is. So you have to explain, because you're in your title, what is a cargo cult and how does it relate to Darwin?
Okay. During World War II, American sailors and airmen came upon these remote South Sea islands, which had not had contact with the outside world for 2,000 years, maybe. And they came up in these enormous ships. They landed these magic birds, and they had all sorts of extra food and supplies that they gave out to the natives, cargo. Well, imagine if spaceships started landing, you know, in Saudi Arabia and rural China. People would wonder, what are these amazing creatures? They were like extraterrestrials, or in their own terminology, they were gods. They were among the gods. They have the power to fly. They have artificial lights. They have all this food. So when World War II ended and the American pilots flew away, these people wanted to bring them back. How do we get the gods to come back and give us more divine benefits, more cargo? So they being smart people, doing what they could with what they knew, they would build little airports out of palm fronds and coconuts with like landing strips and even control towers. They would
So you weren't making this up. Like, I wasn't really clear.
No, this is real. This happened. And in fact, there is an island where Prince Philip, the late Prince Philip of England, he visited, and the people there decided he was a god. And so it's called the Prince Philip Movement, and they venerate Prince Philip, the recently departed husband of Queen Elizabeth. They venerate him as a god. Look up the Prince Philip Movement. It's real. So I'm not trying to make fun of these people. Look how we act about ETs. Oh, it's an extraterrestrial. Oh, I want to go to Roswell. Okay. So what today's liberal American, today's average woke American is like a cargo cult member. The cargo cult, what they take elements of Christianity like equality, anti-racism, fairness, respect for the individual. They take these little pieces out of Christianity and which they don't understand, and they don't have any basis for, because they are Darwinian materialists. They think we are all the result of cosmic burps, genetic mutations unguided by anyone that somehow got from inorganic life in a pond all the way to human beings, all purely by accident and just winnowed, culled by natural selection. This is incredibly implausible. And the book I was reviewing in the article, it's called The Return of the God Hypothesis. You've had its author, Stephen Meyer, on here. This puts the final nail in the coffin of Darwinism, of random mutation being able to create even the smallest cell, much less human beings. So on the one hand, your average, if you and I went to our Yale reunions, we would run into people who believe that you and I are completely cosmic accidents at every level. And the only thing that resulted in the human race was brutal natural selection, nature red in tooth and claw. But also they would affirm all the values of the civil rights movement and then would expand them to the trans rights movement. So they take the Christian principle of equality, which only makes sense if God created us. They say God didn't create us, but you have to apply equality. And you have to let male rapists who identify as female go live in women's prisons if they want to, because that's what equality dictates. And that's what Darwin would do. Huh?
It's so amazing. I mean, it's so funny to me because I've been talking about this myself in the last couple of years. And it's astonishing always when you realize not many people are talking about this. This is really basic, right? If you are an atheist materialist, you don't believe there's any transcendence. You don't believe anything. How can you believe in meaning? How can you believe in equality? How can you believe racism is wrong? We're going to be right back with John Smirak. Folks, talking to John Smirak. John, your article at The Stream, what's the title of this article again?
Is the Woke Cult Just a Spastic Reaction to Darwinism?
Okay. Yeah, so, and what you're talking about, and again, this to me is so obvious. If you do not believe in the God of the Bible, where do you get the idea that racism is wrong? Please tell me, because I know racism is wrong because of the Bible. But if you don't believe in the Bible, how can you say that racism is wrong? Why is it wrong? Now, what would a woke person, a smart woke person, if you could find one, what would that person say?
They would say, first of all, they would say, you're a terrible person. You're trying to make excuses for racism.
Yeah.
They wouldn't understand. The reason you and I are talking about racism is because It's the last area of agreement we have with secular Americans. We both agree that racial discrimination is wrong. The last moment of a cultural consensus was when the civil rights movement led the fight for racial equality, and the left agreed with them, okay? After that, we have no more common ground. We don't think drag queens should be doing story hours. We don't think you should be able to have abortions up through birth. But we do agree on racial discrimination. So we are talking about that. Why do you liberals believe anything is right or wrong? First of all, where do you get this right and wrong? You say in your philosophy classes, you can't derive an ought from an is. That's David Hume. You can't derive a moral code from the way the universe is. Any moral code you develop is simply arbitrary, something you pick. Or maybe
just to interrupt, just to clarify, what that means is science, which is the study of matter, can never tell us why we should say this is good and this is evil. Science tells us what is, not what should be.
Maybe you could say this behavior or that helps the survival of the fittest.
Right.
And that is what's good for our species. So, of course, the eugenicists and the Nazis, being good Darwinists, said, well, wiping out the groups for a week helps the survival of the species. What I believe in doing, anyone who says he's a Darwinian materialist, I try to force him to justify every moral assertion he makes based on Darwin, not based on moral premises smuggled in from the Bible via Martin Luther King, which this person as an atheist has no right to those ethics. Give them back. You didn't pay for them.
That's
you
right.
You don't believe in creation. You don't believe in the cross. You don't have the right to say human beings are equal. You don't have the right to say human dignity matters. That's not important to the survival of the fittest. Let's stick to Darwin. I'm going to build on your foundations. You don't get to steal materials from my building site.
But John, what kind of amazes me is now that this is so clear to me, and it's so clear to you, how is it that Christians have not been making this case for the last 50 or 80 years? I find it very strange. Somehow, I don't know the way culture and ideas move, but how is it that we've gotten here? It's an amazing thing.
Here's what I think happens.
Others haven't made the case.
Here's what I think happens. People see, well, these liberal secularists, at least they agree with us on something. We have common ground in asserting human dignity and opposing racism. I'm not going to attack that. Let's leave that in place and just try to build on it. I think it's way too late for that. No, let's try to demolish that. You don't have a right to oppose racism. You don't, as a Darwinian, have any logical argument for why I should care about the happiness and fulfillment of transgender teenagers. Are they good for the survival of the fittest? It doesn't sound like it. It doesn't sound like sterilizing teenagers helps the human race survive. I'm going to use your ethics to judge your policy proposals, and you'll see you don't like your ethics. If you follow your ethics from your metaphysics, if you look at the morality your basic worldview produces, you're not going to like it. Well, guess what? It only comes from one place. It comes from the Bible. And if you don't accept the God of the Bible, you don't have the right to the humane ethics of the Bible.
John, what you just said, look, it's just fact, okay? What you have just said, I know it. It is true. This is why I think, again, this is just the way ideas work and move in culture. This is why I think the hard left has become unmoored from logic and reality. They no longer care if something is true or not. They are finally at a point where when you say, aha, you cannot have this, they say, we don't care. We just do anyway. Right. In other words, they are truly postmodern.
Right. In fact, if I could just, I have a couple of lines in the story that I think in my column at the Stream that I think sum this up. Even though science tells us we're meaningless epiphenomena of random cosmic burps and vicious competition, somehow we also have dignity and rights, including the right to equity. Insert stolen premises from the biblical worldview here. The woke folk will decide what equality, equity, and justice means. And they'll do it with all the arbitrary, random, irrational whimsy that the universe showed in mutating us into existence. But then they'll enforce their capricious verdicts with all the ruthlessness of natural selection, throwing their failed competitors like us onto the fossil heap of history.
Wow. You should be a writer. Honestly, people need to get this stuff. And I just want to say to anybody who's homeschooling, or if you want to understand the world, folks, you got to read this stuff. It's why I do this program, to help us understand why we should think this and not that, why we should believe this and not that. I think it's very important. I think a lot of us have been drifting along in a way, the way some of these liberals have been, without looking at the roots of what we believe. And, you know, John, I do think that it's part of why we are where we are. We need to understand these things. We need to understand how freedom and self-government works. I've written about that in my book, If You Can Keep It. We need to understand what you're talking about. These are foundational things without which really we can't have a set of ideas. We've just got about 30 seconds left with you today. What else can we say?
Well, Stream.org has both parts now of my fun interview with you about your fantastic new memoir, Fish Out of Water. It's a fun, I think the interview turned out really fun, didn't you?
It did. And I was annoyed that they took so long editing it, but now I look at it and I think I'm glad they did. They did a great job with it. But it really is wonderful. Folks, I'll put it out. I already put it out on my social media. And I'll send out an e-blast today. If you're not signed up for my newsletter, go to ericmetaxas.com, doggone it, and sign up for my newsletter. John Zmirak, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Eric.
I guess the Lord must be in New York City.
Hey there, folks. What do you think about Alan Dershowitz? Have you been paying attention? I was talking to Alan Dershowitz. I asked him about those. What did OJ call them? The ugly ass shoes, the Bruno Magli shoes. And if the glove fits, they will acquit. You remember all this? This happened in the previous century.
Yeah, I think it's if the socks fit, you know, you got to acquit.
Something like that. Something. Yes. But look,
yes.
Some business here. Mike Lindell is going to be on Jimmy Kimmel tomorrow night. This is amazing. Jimmy Kimmel's gonna mock him, but I predict that Mike is so winsome and so honest that he's gonna win over Jimmy Kimmel against Jimmy Kimmel's wishes. Somehow he's gonna win him over. And that's my thought about it. But we should pray. We should pray. I mean, we should actually pray that God would bless him and bless that appearance and use it for God's purposes in our time, because folks like Mike Lindell rarely get on Jimmy Kimmel and those kinds of venues. So let's hope that a few people on the fence would hear what he has to say and that they will go to MyPillow.com and use the code Eric. That's really the most important thing. Okay, so I do want to say we have another sponsor on the program, Nutramedics. So many people already take supplements, whether it's vitamin D. By the way, we should all be taking vitamin D for our immune systems so that you don't catch COVID and anything else. Vitamin D, they mix it with vitamin K. Do you guys know this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. K2 and D3 together.
No one else does this. I mean, if there were nothing else, I would say do this, buy this, because no one else does this. You should take vitamin D. Nobody knows this, and I never heard this, but you should take it with vitamin K, because vitamin D has some side effect that vitamin K cancels. So that's how they sell it. They sell all kinds of other stuff. So we're already buying this stuff. We're buying stevia, which is a fantastic sweetener, melatonin, all this stuff. We already buy it. Why wouldn't we buy it from someone that not only sponsors this program, but that gives 50% of their profits to missions, to charities that I think most of us would approve. We need to find out the charities, but we also, we're going to have them on this program, the founders, to talk about the products and why they went into this. The guy was a missionary pilot. Mm-hmm. So these are hardcore people. They're heroes. And anyway, Nutramedics.com, use the code Eric. But they sent me some of their stuff, so I'm taking it every day. And that's why I got this tan. This didn't come from the sun.
Is that a spray
pure
tan?
Pure carrot extract.
Oh,
it's pure carrot extract. No, but seriously, I have a bald spot, hairs growing, like the stuff that happens when you take just anything, just take it randomly, it's just good stuff.
You're gonna look like Chris Himes here. Chris, show him what you look like, Chris.
Well, here I am. This is me.
Wow, look how healthy you look. That's because
holy cow.
Of
what happened to you? No, seriously, Nutramedics, I want them to develop a product that not only does it restore hair growth, but it gives you an advancing hairline, like Wolfman.
Okay. Love it. Okay.
You got to use the code Eric. No, they've got great stuff. They got zinc, magnesium. I need to look so I can share this, but they sell all the stuff that we sort of should be taking. Zinc, magnesium, and vitamin D are the three that come to mind, and vitamin C, the four that come to mind. We should all be taking that anyway, but why buy it from CVS when you can get it? I should say it's extremely high quality. I need to get the details on what I mean by that because I read their stuff and I talked to them, but I need to get the details so I can explain that. But my attitude is you're already getting this stuff. Why wouldn't you get it from Nutramedics.com? Because they give 50% of their profits to charities that I approve of and to missions. I mean, that's amazing. And I also should say that, they'll be on this program. They'll be talking about it. Hey, we'll see you.